Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you, to yet another conversation in the Bible, in the book of Luke, here on Everyday Truth. Do love the name, Everyday Truth. There are just certain things that ought to be part of our life every day, and the Bible is one of them. Brushing teeth would be another one, just a suggestion, but the Bible for sure. And here we are in Luke chapter 9, and we're in verse 51. Jesus has been clarifying his ministry. And Caleb, we talked last episode just about humility and the fact that our theology, understanding Jesus' mission and his death, burial, and resurrection, is going to cause us to have a right ministry philosophy. Mm. And when we don't see that, when we view ministry only as what benefits us, then that's going to give us a wrong philosophy about ministry and about others.
Right. Yeah. And when our focus is off, you know, it's going to mess everything up.
It's going to affect, and I didn't say this last episode, but it's going to affect whom we serve. Uh-huh. Like, I don't want to serve children because I'm important. And with whom we serve. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, other people that aren't like us, they can't really be blessed. Yeah. So it's interesting how his ministry philosophy was so skewed because his theology was skewed. Mm. But today we're in another little story. This is a story that I think further illustrates their wrong ministry philosophy. Verse 51, it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So at this stage in Jesus' ministry, he's still in Galilee. He's going to head down to the Feast of the Tabernacles, which would be about our October. The Bible actually tells us about this in John 7, where Jesus' own brothers were kind of being sarcastic with him. They didn't believe on him until after the resurrection. Right. And then the Bible says, but Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. And the Bible says in verse 52, he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Of course, the Samaritans and Jews just could not get along.
Right.
And a Samaritan that would know a Jew was going to Jerusalem to worship, you know, that would be that'd be a bad thing in their mind. Verse 54, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did, or Elijah? And he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. I love this story.
It's great. It's, you know, as we start to talk about it, you know, we'll start to see how, you know, you already start to see how that lines up with, you know, their ministry philosophy when their focus isn't right, you know, their theology is wrong, it's going to mess with it. But I just think it's, you know, for people who say the Bible isn't humorous, they've never really read it, to think, you know, their immediate response, because these people did not receive Jesus, do you want us to call down fire to consume them?
Yeah.
Do you want to burn them up? You know, just let us know. Can we do it?
How quick we are to write off others for rejecting Jesus when they didn't even know. They don't even know it's Messiah. They just know it's somebody that's heading toward Jerusalem,
right,
and it's a Jew, and they don't want them to stay in their town. And James and John are so willing to just, you know. And yet when we're the ones that mess up, or we're the ones that don't receive it right away, or the message hasn't sunk down into our ears, then, you know, we're more than willing to give ourselves the benefit of the doubt, like David.
Yeah.
You know, David, I'm going to kill that guy for stealing a lamb. Now, I committed adultery. Hey, listen, you know, we need to be gracious. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's amazing to see how merciful we become when it when we're put in the equation. But, you know, how condemning we can be of other people.
So Jesus taught us a great principle here, and that is not every rejection should cause us to want to fight. We're going to face people, Samaritan villages in our life, that are not going to receive us because of our stand for Christ or our testimony. They're not rejecting us, by the way. They're rejecting the Lord himself. What should our response be? Sometimes our response is we get all hot and bothered and, you know, God, judge those people. And, you know, instead of just saying, you know what, let's move on. There are other villages. There are other places. Even Jesus, when he sent out the 12 and then later on the 70, said, hey, some cities are going to reject you. Just shake the dust off your feet. Realize you did your job. Your job is not to change people. Your job is simply to be the messenger of the gospel. And sometimes you just need to move on. And Jesus is giving us a great example of that. You know, James and John are not going to forget this. Later on in their ministry, James, of course, dies early as a martyr. We see that in Acts chapter 12. But John, he outlives all the disciples. And for a long lifetime, he becomes known as the apostle of love. Love people. Yeah. He teaches us about hospitality and loving and being gracious. He cares for Mary all those years. But God really does a work of grace in John's life, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. It's amazing to see the transformation of that. But, you know, it's simple, Jesus' response to them, but it's also profound because he says that, you know, I'm not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And I think a lot of times when we look at other people who don't receive us well, you know, we automatically go on the defensive and we paint them as, well, they're enemies of Jesus, therefore, you know, we hate them. You know, but we have to view those other people that would reject those things as, hey, those are still people that God loves. And if they don't believe in the gospel, they don't believe in the Lord, there's some, our thoughts about them and the way we view them should still be, hey, I hope they do come to the realization of Jesus Christ. I'm still going to, you know, be merciful to them. I'm still going to be loving and pray towards their salvation, or that they would come around to the things of God. But, you know, as you said before, we can't get caught up in those things, and we can't allow those moments of opposition to build up into us a spirit of hate and condemnation to those people.
What's interesting to me, and those are great thoughts, what's interesting to me is, you know, Jesus said, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. In other words, James and John, you guys look inward here. You really aren't understanding what's motivating this. No. And if you would stop and think and really allow the Lord to reveal your motives, I think what you're going to find is you're being competitive, you're being proud, you're being petty. And praise the Lord that these men got it. Mm-hmm. Because years later, not too much longer after this, Jesus said, you're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in all Samaria. In all Judea, in Samaria, he said in Acts 1. And what's interesting, Caleb, is a couple years later, in Acts 8, Philip goes to Samaria, and he sees a great revival in Samaria. I mean, people are coming to a saving knowledge of Christ in the droves. And the church at Jerusalem sends two men as a delegation to validate. Is this really happening? Are these men really, are they really receiving Christ? And they send Peter and John. So I wonder if when John went to Samaria in Acts 8 and he saw all these believers, these that folks that embraced Jesus, I wonder if he thought, and I wanted to burn these people.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if that village was included in that revival.
Yeah.
You know, but I want to burn, I want to call down judgment upon these people. And I'm sure that there was a fleeting thought of, boy, I'm so glad that Jesus didn't answer my prayer request.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they said, Lord, should we? Just kind of give us the word. We're requesting. Yeah. We'd be happy to do it. Right. And Jesus said, no. I wonder how many times we've come to the Lord. And we've said, Lord, you know, I want to do this. You know, let me do this. Lord, give me the power to do this. Right. And I'll tell you what. And the Lord says, no. And then looking back on our life saying, boy, I'm so glad that Jesus said no to me. Because I guarantee you, these two men came to the place where they were so glad that Jesus said no to them.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes it's difficult to hear that no, because, you know, sometimes that can affect our pride, or, you know, hurt us, you know, thinking that, well, God, why not? Why aren't you going to answer this? Why would you not agree? And, but when we submit to the fact that, you know, sometimes God is going to say no, you know, he always has a great reason for it. You know, he knows, because as we stated before, he knew, hey, guys, you don't have the right spirit about this. And just trust me, don't do this, you know, and it's going to work out. And then, you know, you see John years later, you know, so glad that he listened to the no.
And Jesus gives us one statement that gives us the overarching ministry philosophy that would guide the decision-making. Here's what he says. He says, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. So guys, I'm not only gonna tell you what we're not gonna do and what we are gonna do, I'm gonna tell you why. And the why here is, my purpose is not to come and wreak havoc. My purpose here is not to come and destroy. My purpose is to save lives. And so all of my decision-making is going to find context in the fact that I want people to come to a saving knowledge of myself. So I wonder if that couldn't be our ministry philosophy as we go into a workplace, and it's so easy to get into that workplace argument. It's so easy in my school classroom to get petty and competitive and want to slam that guy, put him down, you know, because it makes me feel better. Or even sometimes as Christians, you know, in the political sphere, we want to get on that person or make them look stupid. But that's not what we're called to do. You know, we're called to show the love of Christ. And if we'll keep in mind that our purpose is not to destroy men's lives, but to save them, it's going to govern the way we deal with every single situation.
Right. It's really going to, you know, take those spontaneous feelings and urges and take that and put them in check.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. And I hope that'll be a philosophy, my friends, that will guide you today and guide us today. And that is to see people, to see the village to which you're going to go today, not through your eyes, because sometimes your eyes are just like, man, I want to be done with this, but through the eyes of Jesus, that there's an eternity and there are souls that matter, and we need to be thinking with the mind of Christ. And so I hope that helps, my friends. Thanks for joining us again. Look forward to next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.